It's been a really, really good weekend. Just in terms of the sports world, great game last night. I was dozing off at the end of it. I was trying to hang in there, but the Rockets over the Warriors, 126-121, the final score. We head now, of course, to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Josh Eberle joins me again on Twitter, at Josh Eberle, E-B-E-R-L-E-Y, and he's a writer for Hoop Magazine, one of the best. Josh, thanks for taking a couple minutes, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. I'm just curious, though, if you were having a hard time hanging in last night, how are you doing for quadruple OT?
Quadruple overtime, that was a tough one. Now, that was Friday night, so I didn't have anything to necessarily wake up for on Friday morning. So I might have been watching that game with with a beverage in hand, and that was a blast. All right, that's a good point. Let's start there, because that series is very fun. Two very interesting teams, the Blazers and the Nuggets, of course, we're referring to. How do you see that shaking out? I tend to think that Denver is the better team top to bottom, but I think Portland might be the more cohesive group. And Denver's just, I mean, if Jokic is off for whatever reason, or if he's off the floor, they're struggling wins that one.
Yeah, I do. I originally had Denver, and I'm pivoting because, fans and media love to make these statements that, if X wins this or they win this battle, they'll win the series.
Right.
But it really did feel like in that game three, it was all or nothing. Both teams were playing for it. And if you told me coming into the series that Jokic was going to outplay Lillard and Murray was going to outplay McCollum, and they'd still somehow be down in this series, I wouldn't have believed you. But that's the situation they're in, because Rodney Hood, Enes Kanter, Mo Harkless, Al-Farouq Aminu are really contributing. And I don't even think we've had the statement Dame game yet.
And just briefly, Rodney Hood having his moment in the sun. That's no reason for Cavaliers fans to be angry at anybody, right? That's just Rodney Hood having his moment in the sun, correct?
If we're going to be angry at anyone, maybe point at the future coach of the Lakers for shackling him in the finals.
Okay, fair. Josh Eberle joining me here on Hoop Magazine. Let's go back to the other game on Friday night. Milwaukee takes a 2-1 series lead with a win over the Celtics, 123-116. What are you seeing from Boston? I picked them before the season to come out of the East. I thought they were maybe one of the only teams who could play Golden State to at least a 6- or 7-game series, especially once they got to the NBA Finals. You still like Milwaukee, or do you like Milwaukee in that series, or what do you think? What do you think about Boston's chances? I tend to think they're going to get back into it, and I think probably Milwaukee is a year away, kind of like Denver.
No, I'm going the other way on this one. I think Milwaukee's for real. I don't think they have an answer for Giannis. I think Jaylen Brown and Marcus Morris have both done a really good job at times in the series. So has Al Horford, playing zone, picking him up higher, not letting him get to the rim. I mean, it's all worked. It's all looked good. The logic has been sound, and yet he's doing what he wants to do still. And Chris Middleton's playing excellent basketball. I think, on a whole, the Bucks around Giannis are probably undervalued. I mean, Brooke Lopez is a great pickup. Mm-hmm. Middleton's having a great series. They don't even have Brogdon out there yet. Bledsoe's been bad, but they're still finding contributions, and I think this Bucks team's for real.
Yeah, getting Brogdon back certainly would be helpful if they're able to advance. I don't know. I still think Boston figures it out. I still think they have the better roster top to bottom. I think it's a matter of whether Brad Stevens can pull the right strings. Houston, 126-121 over the Warriors. I believe that was Houston's kind of final whimper, but we'll see, especially if Steph can't really get off the schneid. Let me ask you this. I am probably one of the last people on Earth, or was, that would not give Kevin Durant the title as best player on planet Earth. I needed to see LeBron fall off, and maybe we saw it this year. I fully expect him to come back next year rested and raring to go, but Kevin Durant's the best player in the world, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I only really have a Twitter account to make fun of Kevin Durant and Paul Pierce. That's what I'm out there for. That's the content that I live for. But honestly, I'm in the same boat as you. I want to see LeBron healthy without the groin in another full year after this awful transition to Los Angeles. But at the moment, honestly, this is the first time I've enjoyed watching Kevin Durant play basketball since he went to Golden State. They actually need him. He's performing. He's been incredible in this series. He can just shoot from wherever he wants. It really has been, even if you're not a Warriors fan, even if you're a Warriors hater, it's been easy to appreciate how great he's been.
I saw a note yesterday, the Superbook at Westgate Las Vegas opened the Knicks at 16-1 to win the 2020 NBA championship. They're behind just the Bucks, Boston, Philadelphia, as far as the Eastern Conference goes. That assumes that Kevin Durant will be a Knick this summer, I would assume, and maybe even alongside Kyrie Irving. Kyrie aside, is KD headed to New York, do you think?
Yeah, I think he is. Like, my gut still says that's where he's going. Smart people around the Warriors and Chris Haynes, Marcus Thompson, think that's where he's going. So that's where my money would be as well. However, how many times have the Knicks been sold a dream that didn't come through? And if you add Kevin Durant to a team with Dennis Smith Jr. and Kevin Knox, depending on what else they do, that is not a title team. So I would hold on to my money. That 16-1 isn't deeply moving me, but I do think he will be there.
What do you think about Phoenix? I saw somebody floating the idea yesterday. Yeah. We know Durant is a fan of Devin Booker. I think probably that's one of the scenarios that would catch everybody off guard if KD ended up in Phoenix, having anything to do with Robert Sarver and that sort of a mess of an organization. But it feels like maybe they're kind of gaining some traction here. We know he's a fan of Monty Williams. I am a fan of Monty Williams. Could Phoenix be a dark horse for KD's services?
Yes, and I was saying this on my pod yesterday. I love it. I love it because Phoenix Suns fans get this month and a half of optimism before they drop in the draft. I love it because the internet is just flooding with, like, quotes of Kevin Durant complimenting Devin Booker, complimenting Arizona, complimenting Scottsdale, Monty Williams. I think there's enough there that, you know, you want to throw in the 2%, 3% dark horse. I dig it. It would be a really fun curveball, and watching Knicks fans think this sure thing was coming with KD to have him pivot and go to Phoenix, the only place you might have an owner that's more detested by the masses. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I love the idea. Where else? I mean, I did this topic maybe probably a couple months ago. One of the things, I think if we all assume that Golden State's going to roll to another championship this year, I think it's probably not a great thing for the league, but it's also not a terrible thing. I feel like the summer is going to be more about player movement and free agency and who's going where than the actual basketball, which maybe once every couple of years is okay. But when KD went to Golden State, it just sort of was like, okay, next three or four championships, those are going to be theirs. Just give me your sort of thumbnail about what you expect this summer and whether or not you agree with that the basketball is actually going to be overshadowed. And then give me some other dark horses. We're all assuming KD is headed to New York. We mentioned Phoenix. Is Brooklyn going to sneak in there? The Clippers? Where do you expect Kevin Durant to start next season?
Yeah, I still think Knicks is most likely. I would say Warriors would be second. And then I am sort of leaning into this Phoenix as the third best option. But the other teams that have money, like the Nets, the Clippers, the Mavericks, like they're not going to – it's going to be one of those off seasons where if they don't with the Lakers, if they don't land the Kawhi, if they don't land the Kevin Durant, the Kyrie Irving, they're still going to want to spend that money. So I don't know how exactly it's going to shake out, but you're absolutely correct. This off season is going to be all about player movement and player decisions. And I think the only reason it's been quiet now is because the Warriors have struggled against the Clippers and they – you know, they're not the regular Warriors, so there's like this little bit of hope that they could maybe fall. But the second that they three-peat and we wipe that from our minds, it's going to be all, where's KD going, where's Kyrie going, where's Kawhi going?
Yeah, and then I can't wait for a team to miss out, and then hopefully it's the Lakers, and then they talk themselves into Nick Vucevic or something like that. Like, come on, we hit a homer. Nick Vucevic, he was an all-star last year. It's going to be great. It's going to be an awesome summer. Today, we've got the Sixers and the Raptors at 3:30. We already talked about the Blazers and Nuggets. That'll be your 7 o'clock matchup. What do you see with Philly and Toronto? I mean, a lot of people love the Raptors headed into the postseason. They had a great regular season, obviously. They're down 2-1. Philly, to me, has the star power there. And my only concern with the Raptors, and it still is at the end of a close game, it turns into a long two on an ISO from Kawhi Leonard. It just seems like their offense seems to die in clutch spots. Kawhi's been phenomenal, but I'm not sure at the end of game, I'm not sure you can have that late game execution and advance too deeply into the postseason. What do you make of it, Josh?
Well, you know, personally, is there any way that Kawhi could have every possession? Because it sure feels like if he's not scoring, they're not scoring. Like, he's averaging 37 a game in the series, shooting 61%. Marc Gasol, honestly, it appears like he doesn't want to shoot the basketball. He's
right.
Throwing away open shots. Kyle Lowry can't hit even if he wanted to. You know, Pascal Siakam being doubtful, I haven't seen the official word on that yet, but man, they're in trouble today. It's unfortunate because I think this team, once again, stop me if you heard this before, this Raptors team is more talented than they've shown in the playoffs thus far, but it really does feel like that. I mean, Lowry got this gift, right, where DeRozan left, He's supposed to be the second option to a better player in Kawhi Leonard. And then Pascal Siakam steps up, and you have the most improved player on your team. He becomes the second option. You trade for Marc Gasol. So really, between Mark and Lowry, they need a third option scorer. You know, someone who can contribute 14, 15 points a night. Lowry has been unable to add 10 on the board in four of the playoff games so far. Mark doesn't want to shoot. It's been a frustrating ride, I think, if you're a Raptors fan.
Yeah, and, you know, the Gasol addition, you're going, okay, he's going to be good, but how much are they going to rely on him? And, yeah, I saw those cut-ups too, Josh, three or four times the other night. He's wide open, and they're not giving him any attention from three. And we know he can knock those shots down. He's just playing passively. They obviously need something from Lowry, but, you know, the next best thing would at least be Gasol shooting open jumpers and providing a little gravity for that offense. All right, let's localize it here a little bit. The Cavaliers have been bringing in just about every assistant from across the NBA to interview for their head coaching position. A couple names that have excited me, they're going to request permission, or they have requested permission to talk to Jordy Fernandez, but Ime Udoka and Eddie Ormesina from the Spurs coaching staff in over the weekend, according to Woj and Chris Fedor from Cleveland.com. Ime Udoka is a name that maybe your casual NBA fan is not familiar with. Tell me a little bit about him. And Josh, when you picture who the next head coach of the Cavaliers should be, what kind of a type guy? Should it be one of these assistants who's just waiting for their opportunity, preferably maybe one with some player development background? Who do you like as the next Cavs head coach?
Yeah, I like Ime Udoka. I mean, if you're an old fan, if you're a Mavs fan, Spurs fan, you'll remember it. For one way or the other.
Right.
But, you know, like the thing is, a lot of teams love to sell you on the player's coach. He played, he understands the players, he can talk to the players. And then they're short on the X's and O's. And they don't like analytics, so they don't like media, or they don't get, you know, the selling the aspect of the team. And different issues arise. But Udoka, you know, he's been a player. He's still young. He can still reach on these guys. But he's also been next to Pop. And look around the league. How many Pop disciples are still in the playoffs right now? It's just, it seems like that's a slam dunk hire. I don't know why he hasn't gotten the job yet. I think this is 3 years in a row we've seen his name, you know, get mentioned, considered, be interviewed. I would think that's the look.
Do you? I want to end on this. It's not official yet, but it seems like Ty Lue will be the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Is Ty Lue a good coach? Simple but complicated, right?
I think if I'm being completely honest, it's really tough to judge.
Yeah.
Like, I think there are things that you can say about him that are positive and are negative, but when you're on a LeBron team, it's tough. And similar to Steve Kerr, like, we know Steve Kerr is a very good locker room coach. We know his rotations are a little bit messy, but when you're coaching a team that's talented, that is that talent, I think it's tough to step away and really know.
Fair. That's fair. And that's where we're going to leave it. He is Josh Eberle, at Josh Eberle on Twitter. Eberley is how he spells his last name. Great job for Hoops Magazine, and make sure you follow him and read all of his stuff. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, there he is, Josh Eberle. And, of course, all of our guests join us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.